This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, as we come to you live from ESPN Studios at Pier 17. At
the power out!
No!
It's Jay Weezy! It's the power!
What
do,
baby?
It's always the power hour.
All right, I'll do it for Jay Will. Only for Jay Will.
Stop.
Wait, what?
I wrote this in three-part harmony. Let's get this together.
Wait. Let me stop the gong. All right, Jay Williams, by the way, is joining us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Power hour. Weezy got some spit for us, man, because we got one to talk about today, man.
Yeah, we do.
Is this the preview we wanted? I thought it was L.A. and Brooklyn.
No, doesn't seem like it. Jay, how we doing, man? I do you like that intro? Because Bart, as you could tell, is very fired up to talk to you today.
I mean, I love the animation. I mean, I'm excited about tonight's game. I'm excited about watching KD and Steph Curry go against each other. Mm. Who's leading the MVP race?
Yep.
I'm excited about watching Draymond Green talk trash to Peyton and Eli Manning last night. I'm excited just about the whole James Harden come into his own. There's a lot to be pumped up about for tonight's game. We finally can talk basketball.
Yes.
You know what I mean, Bart? Just finally. Just a little bit.
What I love is the perpetual motion, which is the offense of the Golden State Warriors. And we know, listen, we understand, but I feel like these teams are the same, but they're different at the same time. Because I feel like when you look at Golden State, they're on a string defensively as well. And I feel like when you look at Brooklyn, it's all offense. And I hope this gets into a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant shoot-off. You know what I mean? Where they just start calling their shots, even though they're not guarding each other. I would love to see that shoot off where they get it personal, where they get both hot and get cooking. Who was that Steph was talking to earlier?
I want an MC on the court, just yelling stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I want this like the Rucker. Give Jay Weezy the mic and say, "Ooh, hot sauce! Oh, nutmeg! I want play
they
by
call
play."
Him the Slim Reaper. They call just yelling stuff.
If this is ever the day for the alternative broadcast, I want to hear hot. I want to hear Jay Weezy like just talking off the cuff. Like, oh, just this.
Bart, can I tell you something? I think Golden State is playing some of the best basketball, but I don't think they're the best team in basketball.
Oh,
right? Like, and I'll say that because obviously Steph is playing at a superhuman level, and he's able to take them there. But like, there's a part of me that wonders, like, they've been home a lot. Like, if you look at that time, they've been home, and it's when you're a young basketball team, when you have some interesting pieces to your team, when you're at home, that's a different feeling than when you go on the road.
9-13
now
at home.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now I get a chance, Alan, to see who this team is on the road, and now I want to see that same level of success sustained. If they go through this road trip and they come out unscathed or still like playing at a high level all the way through, I'm like, all right, I get it. But until I see that, I can't claim them as the best team in basketball. Yeah, I still kind of give that more to Utah or Miami.
So Jay Weezy, I'm just a little bit older than you, but I remember this video game, not video game, this cartoon. It was called Voltron, right? And it was like it was a prelude to Power Rangers, right? And I remember like when they used to assemble into that one big robot, and they used to come together, like, and they were unbeatable. They could beat whatever what was in front of them. So tell me this: what piece is the sword in the hand for Voltron? Is it Kyrie Irving to the Nets, or is it Klay to the Golden State Warriors?
Ooh.
Who puts their team
Ooh,
over the top?
What a question, Bart. What a question.
I mean, I've been practicing.
That deserves. That deserves that.
That is.
Yeah.
Bart, I'm going to give you credit for our topic that we're going to have tomorrow because I think that's incredible.
Hey, by the way, I'm hosting with you tomorrow, so we can. This could be a collaborative.
Sure.
This could be a collaborative.
Yeah, collaborative.
We just brought it over.
Just because the first time that I came on the show, I kind of got you guys yelled at me because you didn't think I gave you credit for the topic. So we will give it the right credit in the credits. You know what I mean, Alan and Bart? We'll give you the right credit.
Fair.
But I will probably say off the bat, probably Kyrie because Kyrie, the only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit about Klay, Bart, is that Klay hasn't played ball in 2 years, man. And it goes from a torn ACL to an Achilles. Mm-hmm. I wonder how somebody's body bounces back after that. I'm not saying it can't be done, but the level of defender that he was, the way he could get his shot off, he can definitely be put back into the continuity of the system. But I need to see it first before I can believe that Klay is going to come back the same caliber of player he was 2 years ago before he got hurt. I know what kind of player, with the exception of the ball changing, you know, it going from Spalding to Wilson that I know I'm going to get with Kyrie Irving. So that's a little bit more of a fixed scenario for me, more so than Clay. How about that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bart.
So Kyrie comes back, he just brings you offense. Clay comes back, he brings you offense
defense. It comes with the caveat of what Jay just said, though,
Bart.
Yeah.
This is Kansas City, though, Bart. I'm going to outscore you. You have to put up more points to me each and every single game. That's who they were last year.
Right.
I mean, I look at Golden State. They're good defensively, but it's not like they're overwhelming defensively. They can still outscore you, and that's a power punch.
You know what's amazing, too? What you said there, though, about Clay, and we're talking with Jay Williams on the Goodyear Hotline, what you said there is interesting because of how the bar has been raised to maybe a level that no one can ever achieve it. When Kevin Durant sat out for almost 2 years and came back from an Achilles, and how he has looked
better,
the same, you know, or that player he was, like whatever it is, it's as if he never left. And now we look at Clay and go, Kevin did it. Can you do it? And it's almost unfair, right? It's almost unfair that we're going to hold Clay to the standard of can he just show up and be that player that KD suddenly became in a matter of like, what was it, about a month and a half before we're like, yep, that's KD. Yep, that's him.
What? Allen, opposite sides of the body, right? Torn ACL on one leg, comes back off of that. Torn Achilles on the other leg due to compensation. So different injuries, right, combined. And I'll say this, you know, when you start looking at some of the next level metrics, when you start seeing that Clay and Steph run over 3.5 miles per game, KD doesn't move like that, not to the same degree.
Doesn't need to.
Right? So, you know, KD, you can put an isolated spot. Granted, he can dance with the ball, but a lot of his shots, if you look at the way he scores, man, he's a 7-footer.
Yeah.
Like, he might be, you know, I'll say this, man, he's the best scorer the game has ever seen. Now, I know people are going to wow out because Michael Jordan
what about is James?
The most consistent scorer. But Bart, this dude is 7 feet tall. Right. You know what somebody does when you're 7 feet tall? Bart, I turn, I face. I shoot over the top of you. I turn, I face. I give you a slight fadeaway. You can't contest it. It's a wide open shot. And he's going close to 50, 40, 90, Bart.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's been consistently over the course of his career.
How about this hot take? Kevin Durant's the best 7-footer to ever play the game.
And over Dirk. Yeah.
Over Dirk. How about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Allen, now you better stop.
Why is that crazy to say? Why is that crazy to say? I mean, Kareem was obviously had an unstoppable shot and was a great player. We know that, all-time great. But Kevin Durant is 7 feet tall and does way more.
See, but Kevin Durant created his own shot. You know, Kareem had to get somebody to give him the ball to him.
My case.
But who has the more, do you think defensively that, you know, Kevin Durant could ever touch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I mean,
no.
So also, do you think that Kevin Durant will ever catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as far as the durability to be able to catch that scoring record?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Because Kareem was that sauce. I know people were, you know, I saw him through that transition period when he was holding on to that hair. He was dominant there, too, when he had the peninsula going on before he went straight Kojak. You know, he had that little Georgian wheeze. It was acceptable for a little while in the 70s. It was okay.
Have the George Jefferson going. Jay, what do you make of the fact that in the league so far, now again, we're not even a quarter in, but I just want to know what you think of this. The scoring is down, shooting percentage is down, 3-point shooting percentage is down, free throw attempts are down. Like, offense is down right now. What gives and will it hold?
So I'll say a major part of that, guys, and I firmly believe this. When I was in college, I used to play with a solution basketball. And I remember when I was getting drafted, getting ready for the pros, my agent got me an NBA Spalding ball as soon as possible. And I remember just, you know, like they did with the college kids playing football, you don't carry this football around with you everywhere in class. Yeah. I did that for a minute. And the ball just felt so different. It was so much more slick. And when I would try to use the English I would use on the glass, the ball would come off the glass in so many different weird ways. It took me such a minute to get adjusted to that ball, especially when I started moving back and shooting the ball back further. I think one of the best hidden stories in basketball that nobody is talking about yet, with the exception of a couple of sprinkled articles, is how the ball changed after 38 years in the league from Spalding to Wilson. And you hear guys talking about it. Like, you can hear you know, big time players talking about it, you know, saying openly, this is different, man. The thing just don't feel right. Comes off my hands wrong. If that's CJ McCollum making comments about it, you know, guys are saying how the feel of it is so different. And Dame Lillard has even made comments about it, him and CJ. So when you see Dame Lillard shooting a career low from the field goal percentage, mm-hmm. a career low from the three-point line shooting percentage. Dude, at one juncture, Alan, this dude was shooting like 8% from the three-point line. I'm talking like 9-10 games into the season.
Right.
I'm not talking like two games. 8% for Dame, one of those prolific scores we have in this game. So I think that plays a major factor into it, but nobody's really making mention of it.
Yeah, I mean, and you add that with the fact that they're not giving you these ticky-tack fouls right now.
No, there's only nine.
Guys can't
how about
get to
this?
The free throw line.
It's the first time now, again, we're only 12, 13 games in. It's the first time in NBA history that they've averaged under 20 free throws. Teams average under 20 free throws. The league average is 19 free throw attempts a game.
Jay, do you like the way that the game is going, like the flow of the game without all these fouls and stops and, you know, from all these sweep through fouls and jump back into your fouls? Do you like the flow of the game?
I think, you know, if I were a betting man, I would bet that the refs are letting the physicality of the game exceed the calls that should be called in order to readapt or recalibrate what that middle ground is. Mm-hmm. See, because for me, Bart, when I played, I'll tell you, one of the best in the game at doing this. Sam Cassell. I'll never forget this. There was a down screen coming, and he was going to curl around to the elbow. And I put my left hand on his hip because I was going to chase, right? Mm-hmm. Just to stay attached. This man, when he caught the ball, my hand was kind of like on the side, like around his jersey, just got my hand in his jersey and just kind of started like making movements and got a foul call on me or stepped on my foot and kind of fell down. So I think there is a gamesmanship element to this, but it's more discreet, right? It's more in the nuances. It's not so blatant that we've seen with people like Trey or like James. So mm-hmm. I want to find a middle ground, but I like that. I like when games are physical too, because it brings me back to what the game used to be, man. Like, you would get bowed across your chest and dudes will look at you like Shaq will look at you and be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ain't no foul. Like, so I like that middle ground for me.
Yeah. I feel like too, for a league that over the last 10 years developed a reputation where people would say, oh, it's load management and flopping.
Basically soccer.
Like, you know, it's not tough like it used to be. It's okay to bring that back, because I think there is an element of the fan base that does want to see it come back. Jay Williams joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay, you're more than just a basketball guy, so let me ask you your opinion on what happened between Rex Ryan and Robert Saleh, where Rex Ryan basically says, don't compare this guy to me. He doesn't have the same resume as me. And Saleh shoots back. He knows where to find me. And, you know, like, just responding to it when asked about those comments. You know, he always has something to say. Was Saleh wrong to respond the way he did? Should he have ignored it? Or is he right to respond and sort of stick up for himself?
So it depends upon the circumstance. And let's be real, Alan. Let's call this what it is. Them being 2-7, he was wrong. If they were 7-2, you would have no problem with it. Mm-hmm. You would like it. You would love that kind of vinegar, that energy from your head coach. But, like, you know, when I hear people say that, like, I'll give you an example, okay? Paolo Banchero, who is a star player for Duke, and Mike Savarino, who is Coach K's grandson. There's an article that just came out that Mike Savarino got pulled over for underage, there being a DUI.
Right.
Okay? And the article leads, though, with Paolo Banchero, who was just a passenger in the seat, but for some reason he got, you know, struck with aid and abiding or something like that, one of those kind of terminologies with an arrest. And I'm like, interesting that Paolo Banchero's name would lead, even though he was just the passenger. He was just riding. Dumb decision on both people's part, especially Mike's to drive, even for Paolo to get in the car. And then Doug Gottlieb responded to me, right, via Twitter. Now, I like Doug. Doug and I obviously have a little something. We've had it my entire career doing media, and I'm probably giving it way too much attention, but I'll do it just because this is our show and it's how we rock out. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where I was in the car, Alan, and I was like, I'm about to lace into Doug's ass. I'm about to get into him so much. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even gonna give Doug that awareness right now. I'm gonna lay out. I'm not even gonna give it to him. And in a way, in my mind, when I heard the sound of Rex doing that, I was like, Robert, don't take the bait. Just be like, Rex who? Like, what? Just Rex who? I'm focused on my team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted Robert Saleh to do in that particular situation because they are 2-7.
That is our world, isn't it? What Jay just described there is literally the world we live in.
Every day.
The ability to respond to somebody immediately because of social media. The harder part is the ability. Like, you have the right to respond. You also have the right to not.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing to do is to say, I'm not even going to give this life.
It's like saying ice cream's for winners, Jay. Like I said earlier, it's like that show, Whose Line Is This? Like, the line that Saleh said was for winners. Like, you don't get to say that until you start winning. So you should take that, internalize it, and use it as rocket fuel so that you can go back and say, eat these words.
Right.
But, you know.
And Bart, and I love Rex, and I would say this to Rex. Like, there's a reason Rex is sitting next to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, focus on what you got to do, Robert. Don't worry about Rex Ryan or the thousands of other. I mean, every single day I hear Jets fans, you know, get into them. And so I'm like, man, just give me some energy from the defense, okay? When I see Urban Meyer getting more energy and effort from the Jags defense than you from the Jets defense, I start to get worried.
No doubt.
Focus on that.
I just got one more for you, Jay Weezy.
Uh-oh.
Like, Anthony Davis said, we suck. Is he right?
Hmm.
He ain't wrong.
Is that kind of like a we didn't win, but we didn't lose? Is this like a Detroit Lions? Is this like Detroit Lions? Well, it's not a loss. No,
here's the answer.
Yeah.
Man.
That's basically it. You know what? You can leave it right there, Jay, because that's the best way to put it. He ain't wrong. Jay, always great to talk to you. I'll see you in the morning.
All right, guys.
Man.
All right, Bart.
Man.
Stay safe, Bart.
I will.
Don't habitual line step, Bart.
Yeah, I'm trying not
too late.
Man. So, the Hollywood Brown laid into me. I laid to him. He fell for the banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah, exactly. You were involved in that, too. Jay Williams on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. On this topic, let's take George in the boogie down Bronx. What up, George?
George? What's up, fellas? I appreciate you both very much.
What you got? A next sale? You can sunk you on the water, man. Get to a better place, man. Get to a better place. We want to give you a shot to have a good call.
How's that?
There you are.
There we go. I ain't want to lose you, man.
Yeah. We got you now.
I'm telling you guys now, man.
We got you.
I'm in the food service industry. If a customer is giving me a hard time, I'm showing the staff to respect that person. But these guys are fighting right now. They have two wins. Salah stays quiet. His locker room is like, where's the fight, you know? These are young guys in there. So I appreciate him speaking up. That's my take.
You know what, George, thank you. I see, that's the part I get, and I've gotten some of that pushback from fans, from Jets fans on Twitter about it, saying, you know what, if he says nothing, people are going to say he's not emotional enough, he's too quiet, too soft. Because on the sidelines, you don't see him being bombastic and frustrated and all that stuff.
And that was his calling card when he was a coordinator.
He was always lit up. He was always excited. But that's another problem again, and I bring it back to why it's different here in New York. It's like we want you to be emotional like we are, but be better than us by being able to be reserved at the right times.
Yeah.
It's not
balance.
Easy. What
balance.
I'm saying, right, exactly. It's not easy what I'm saying. Because I do believe that there are people that say he's damned if he says something and damned if he doesn't. Right? He should have responded to Rex. Where's that fire? Where's his passion? No, you know who should respond to Rex? A player. That's who should respond to Rex. If anybody's going to speak up, give me a CJ Mosley that comes forward and says,
yeah, you better be a good player. But then you'd be like, CJ, man, when you're going against the coach, man, you was looking up at the sky. I thought you was tanning. Because you was on your ass all night.
Oh, man. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
The critic always has the advantage, right? Because he's not being critiqued on nothing.
No. That's what I mean. So that's why those who respond to the critic, it should not be you. It should be those defending you. It doesn't need to be you. That's where it comes from. We'll see where this goes.
When the people were attacking me from Dallas, talking about I don't know what I'm talking about because I picked them as upset. I say, look, dummies, I had to pick somebody.
Yeah,
who would you have to pick?
But when you're a radio host, you're supposed to get attacked. That's what it's all about. Like, I'm getting crushed right now about saying that Kevin Durant was the best 7-foot scorer in the history of the game.
Then who would they say? You know what's
Kareem? You know that's coming. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We got a lot more to do.
George Mikan? I just wanted to make you laugh, man. Man.
You know how I feel about that.
Man.
Man, if I was in my 20s in 1950,
you'd have been in the Hall of Fame.
Be in Springfield, baby. I'd be dunking on everybody.
Listen, if you had one wish to ask the genie, you'll probably ask for that wish so you can go back and just be the best.
If you could give me the DeLorean and the flux capacitor, I'm dialing it back to 1951. Yeah, and I'm definitely going to – I'll do work
dunking on
NBA.
All you fools.
All of them. It's Barton Hahn coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, we'll finally get the answer to who's tougher, football players, basketball players. We shall find out. But first, I want to tell you to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. And if John could scroll that for me, I could finish the rest of it. Yes, it's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. You can learn more at keystoprogress.com. So coming up in December, about a month from now, there's going to be a very interesting fight that, I mean, this is, I mean, the Paul Fury card is already one that people are anticipating.
Right.
But on it is a fight that both of us took notice of. And that is a fight between a guy we've had on the show before.
Yes.
Venerable running back in the NFL, Frank Gore, and a former NBA All-Star in Darren Williams. It's unique.
That's super unique. That's more unique than a YouTuber and a boxer.
Well, I think so, right? And it also maybe settles the score about, you know, who's tougher.
It's a lot on the line, man.
Football player or the basketball. So we bring back a friend of the show, Frank Gore, right now, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Frank, thanks for coming back with us. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing fine.
Are you in fight mode now, champ? Are you cutting the weight? Was it a weight limit that you had to make? Or, you know, how you feeling in training?
Well, I'm good. We're fighting at 215. Well, I was only like 220, 219. So that wasn't really a big weight cut for me. I'll be fine. I'm excited about it, though.
Now what's your background as far as, like, I'm assuming that you probably used to box a little bit when you were playing, but as far as competitively and sparring and things like that, what's your experience level with that?
I've been sparring for a little minute. Well, it's different. It's tough. But I've been holding my own, so I've been sparring with, like real pros. And it's different from football, man. I was born to play football. Then now it's like totally new. So I'm still learning. So it's kind of tough, but I've been doing pretty good.
I tell you what, now, you know, you're newly retired. I've been retired for like 8 years. And, you know, one thing I always crave is competition and being able to do something that means or matters to me. And I still need a threat of danger. Like, what was your motivation when you retired, and why did you decide to get in the ring?
Because I always was around the sport, Boston. And I respect the sport just because, you know, I've been training it. And I know how hard it is. And, you know, I just saw myself kept getting better and better. And me seeing Jake Paul and all this new stuff going on, I was like, you know, I should take a shot at it, you know. And December 18th, you know, it's my shot.
Now, this is a big stage to kind of, you know, and you're putting yourself out there and you're vulnerable, right? And it's a huge stage. Like, but this time you're going into a huge stage and a huge moment without any teammates, so to speak, you know, nobody in there to help you. You know, did you reach out to guys like Chad Johnson, some of the guys that have decided to jump out?
Yeah, I talked to Chad a lot. Chad was just in the gym with me a couple of weeks ago. And man, Chad kind of started that at the same time. So I knew that Chad was going to do good when he got in the ring. Because, you know, I just know his skill set. And, you know, he's been around in it for a while. I know it wasn't going to look sloppy, you know. And, you know, like everybody talk about how he got knocked down, but he got back up. And that's the sport of it. That's the name of the sport. You know, everybody get clipped at times, you know. But the main thing, he did get up. And, Chad just told me I just got to be calm. You know, he just told me he wish he would have had more time to get ready for it instead of 4 weeks. And he said if he would have had more time, he would have been better. But I told him he did a great job. And I'm excited about it, man. Something new, something I always wanted to do, and I got my opportunity come December. My opportunity come December 18th.
Frank Gore joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. We're talking about he's in an undercard fight in the Jake Paul Tommy Fury match, which will be December 18th down in Tampa. It's a 4-round heavyweight bout between Frank Gore and Deron Williams, an NBA player. And Frank, what I want to ask you is, obviously, as a football player, you have the center of gravity, the power, all that, especially as a running back. Deron has the height, the size, the reach. How much of that is a concern? And have you been, when you are sparring, are you doing it with guys that are taller with longer reach than you?
Yeah, I have. But also, it's like, you know, we both, you know, first time in the ring, so... You know, you got to still see, can he use it? You know, can he throw a right job? Can he throw a job the right way? Can he do it? Can he use his length? You know, you watch even some pro fighters who got tall, sometimes they don't go in there and use their length. They, you know, try to bang. And, you know, I just got to wait till we get in there and see how it goes.
Do you feel the pressure that you're carrying the entire NFL versus NBA? Because, you know, like, we know who the tougher sport
we
is.
We do? Do we really know?
Do we really know? On. We had a dude that, you know, Paul Pierce hurt his shoulder and got carried off in a wheelchair, and it had nothing to do with his damn legs. Like, what are you talking about?
But still, though, like, this man different, though. He's been around MMA, four or five years. So yep. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Look at him as no basketball player. You know, everybody trained differently on the offseason. I'm looking at him as a fighter. Wow. You know, like, he's looking at me as a fighter. You know, I know we get hit in football, but it's a totally different sport.
Yeah, I tell you what, Frank. Listen, I'm there with you, man. I tell you what. If you think it gets slippery,
I think Bart's next, Frank. I'm telling you, man. If you have success, you might need to call Bart and say, okay, it's your turn.
Well, he's a trailblazer for us, right? Frank, you're the trailblazer, right? You, Chad, are trailblazers because this is starting to get really entertaining, right? And it's starting to really get a lot of steam behind it. And, you know, it's almost like the Verses when it first started, right? You know, it was fun. But, like, it's really entertaining. And like, I think this is an evenly matched fight, and I think it settles a lot of scores. And I'm excited to see it. Are you inviting everybody to come down? Are the family coming down? And, you know, is Junior, namesake coming?
Yeah, my family. Yeah, my family's gonna be here. My son will be here. You know, I just gonna keep training. You know, and fight night, I'm trying my best to, you know, get a win and look good for people to be like, man, this kid Frank can really box.
Hey, Frank, you're talking a little bit like this ain't the last one, right? You know what I mean? Are you thinking past this? Maybe like if this goes well, that's something you may want to consider to try and really dabble in. Now, we have had professional fighters or professional football players kind of get into sports. I forget the Kraken from North Carolina who's in MMA right now. I can't think of his name right now, but, you know, it's been a lot of guys, Lorenzo White, you know, Johnny Morton.
Oh, you're talking about Greg Hardy?
Yeah, Greg Hardy, right? Yeah, I think he's been the most successful, like, fighter post-football career. Are you thinking about maybe doing this for a living and maybe getting involved in this a little more?
I don't know. You know, I haven't thought of that far. You know, I just been focused on December 18th, man. You know, I'm... You know, it's new to me. You know, every time I think about it, I get nervous about it, you know, just because, you know, it's a new sport. But I wanted to do it, and I signed up for it. And, I'm going to try my best to look good for people to say that.
Hey, Frank. I'm sorry. With the training, obviously, and all the focus you have to do right now, are you able to stay up with the NFL? Are you still, you know, keeping up with the league and watching it this season?
Yeah, I'll be watching a little bit of it.
What do you think of what you're seeing around the league? Like, it feels like there's so much parity. It doesn't feel like there's one favorite anymore.
It's good football, man. It's been good games, man. It's been good games out there, man. And especially these last 2-3 weeks been crazy, man.
Yeah.
Especially I know for the people who bet, man. Oh, man. I know they did. Especially last week, oh, man, when New Orleans lost against Atlanta, when the Broncos beat the Cowboys.
Yep.
And now the Washington football
team beat Jacksonville.
Beat Temple yesterday.
Yeah, and how about Jacksonville?
Jacksonville beat Buffalo.
Beating Buffalo the way they did, yeah.
Man, I can't believe it.
Tear up your receipts. Forget all about it. Bart believes that – now, you as a running back can answer this question. Bart believes that the NFL has gone away from focusing on the importance of the interior – linemen, that those
linebackers,
guys, linebackers, I should say. I mean, yeah, the inside linebackers.
Yeah, that's why Tennessee be beating people because they're the only team to play old school ball. They had a big back, and they been like they understand the linebackers now getting smaller and smaller. So you know what Tennessee doing? Going straight downhill, going at people and say, hey, they gonna wear you. We're gonna wear you down. We're gonna play defense and wear you down. You know what I'm saying? Then once we start weighing you down, y'all start bringing that man in the bus. They going into that, they receivers.
Yeah, so
that's why Tennessee been so successful because they're the only team that play kind of old school ball.
Now it almost
and they built like old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it almost makes me think that Bill Belichick knows something as well too, because November and December ball is much different from October, September, and November ball,
yeah.
And it's like those you see them starting to run the ball downhill. So all these guys that got off to these fast leads, and they got all these
small linebackers. Yeah, small linebackers look like safety. That's why Derrick Henry going crazy when he was healthy.
Sound just like Bart.
You know.
Hey Frank, it's always great to catch up with you. If you get the dub, we'd love to have you back on, my man.
All right, appreciate it.
Well, if you don't get the dub, guys, listen, I'm betting on it too.
We'll
man.
Have you back on either way, but. I might feel a certain way about it if you beat the basketball player. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll never hear the end of it.
I can't look at him as a basketball. He do MMA, man.
Hey, break.
He got to be tough to get in that ring, man.
I tell you what, break down them little Chico DeBars, little light-skinned ribs, man. Bruise them all up. Go straight to the bike. Get them kidney shots for me. Give them two of them kidney shots in the eye gouge.
Yeah, you're a good caller, right, man. Frank, thanks, man. All the best. Good luck.
All right.
You got him all fired up. You know what, though? You can hear it, though. I respect that he was not going to take the bait and start saying stuff. He's like, no. He knows. Darren Williams does MMA. Like, like this is not just some, like, soft, floppy basketball player coming into the ring. First, A, it takes guts to do it.
It's weird because he had that, like, persona because he was always injured, often injured as a basketball player.
He was later in his career, yeah.
So it made you think that, like, maybe this dude was, like, soft a little bit. But, you know, that's something to do with the sport. That don't mean he can't fight,
mm-hmm.
right?
yeah. No,
but you know the stigma that comes with it, right? But then when you get in the ring, you're like, hold up, man. This dude's, like, twice as tall as he is.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that was Frank Gore, and he was brought to us by Die Hard Batteries, America's most trusted auto battery. And it's available at your local Advanced Auto Parts. Coming up, your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And the top of the NFL power rankings, I think, took a hit with last night's loss by the Rams. Who takes over number one? We'll discuss next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. I want, Bart, you to react to something that Stephen A. Smith said that sounds like a hot take, but actually just might be a resignation when it comes to one of the all-time greats that we are still seeing play today, and that's LeBron James. He said on First Take, I think LeBron has won his last title. He said, I think it's over. LeBron has been out for the past couple of weeks with an ab strain this year. Woj is reporting that he is expected to come back on Friday as they're on now. The Lakers will now head on an East Coast road trip. But he's appeared in just six games so far this year. He played in just 45 last year out of 72, 67 in the COVID-shortened season, and 55 before that. Last time he's played 82 games was the 18 season, his last year in Cleveland. And really, throughout his career, he's managed to play in pretty much almost the entire season. I don't think it's a stretch. He turns 37 years old December 30th. The Lakers are not a good team. We're seeing it. And it's asking a lot to have LeBron James now parachute back into the Lakers and lead Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and this collection of veterans that they put together and ask him to win another championship. Not with Golden State looking the way they do with Steph Curry, who is much younger, with Denver and Utah having young enough cores that are getting into their primes. They've been together a long time. This Phoenix Suns aren't going anywhere, as they are proving to us at the start of this season. And there's Luka Doncic. There's also the East, which has gotten a lot better. Teams like the Brooklyn Nets, obviously, that you can't overlook. I don't think it's a stretch, Bart, to say I don't think we're going to see LeBron win another championship.
I think that's fair, right? That's why last year was so pivotal, the fact that he didn't win last year and he got hurt, because we knew this was a short window.
Yep.
Especially it was a short window with LeBron being the best player on the court, because LeBron needs Anthony Davis now to be the best player on the court. And to do that, he has to be healthy. I get concerned with the fact or the absence of LeBron James. If LeBron James is going to be in and out of the lineup, that's going to be asking a lot on to Anthony Davis. And when you also look at the fact that Russell, you know, even though he's able to put up points, he forces you to play a certain way, and it was supposed to be Westbrook was supposed to be able to carry the team, and it's kind of his team,
right,
when LeBron isn't playing or when he's on the bench. And the losses are at 8-7 are still coming. So, you know, you talk about them having to go and play, you know, first round playing against better teams if they can't climb up the standing. So my concern is that we're watching LeBron's body start to react the way that a typical older gentleman body would react.
Yeah, he used to be Wolverine.
Yeah, maybe.
Now he's out for more than 1 or 2 days.
And it's all stuff like obliques, like all stuff that happens to old people, like hamstring, It'd be shin splints in a minute, right? You know, all kind of things like that. And that's how you know your body's breaking down, because he does a tremendous job in trying to take care of his body. But we've seen all the greats. I can remember when Kobe, you know, tore his Achilles, right? That's just a sign that your body has a lot of wear and tear on and it's breaking down. And no matter how much money you put in it, you can't beat Father Time. It's undefeated.
It really is. And for a long time, it looked like LeBron James was beating Father Time. But four-time NBA champion, which is still, of course, you know, it's
one less than Kobe.
It is. And two less than Michael, which was what he was chasing. But still, four titles, three with three different franchises, still says a lot. LeBron James, never win a title again? Maybe. Hall of Fame? Definitely. Ah, yes, we reminisce. Shout out to Pete Rock and CL Smooth as well. Classic. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. And yeah, we want you to listen to Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcast. So after the Rams lose Monday Night Football in the way they lost last night, the ESPN NFL Power Rankings come out on Tuesdays. The Packers, who, with Aaron Rodgers back, get another win. They shut out Seattle. They actually jump over the Titans, who just continue to win, and the Packers are now in the top spot, entering Week 11. The Rams, who were in the top spot, fell all the way, Bart, to fifth. Cowboys, they jump seven spots up to number four as they rebound from their ugly loss with a big win.
It's like the BCS.
It does feel like that a little bit, right? But this is the ESPN NFL Power Ranking, so it's not necessarily as important. It's just sort of a gauge, a guide on where we are right now, 10 weeks into the NFL season. And the Titans are the only AFC team, as they have been, in the top five. It's the NFC teams and then the Titans. Do you have any issue with any of this? The Packers moving ahead of the Titans for number one, and the Rams falling from one all the way to five based on one game.
Yeah, that's tough, but you know what we're starting to see with the Rams, and people might say just one loss, but that's two in a row, right? So you know, so I think it's more about the losing streak, because if you want to go to bad losses, you know, you talk about the Dallas Cowboys losing to the Broncos. So I think that you know it's a reflection on teams that you think could potentially beat the Rams. Mm-hmm. You think Green Bay can beat the Rams, and you see that the way Dallas runs the ball seems like to be the kryptonite of that great defense that isn't really looking like the number one defense it was last year. And, you know, Von Miller, you know, we hope we'll add something, but maybe he's not the dominant player that he once was, and that's why they let him go.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they handle the bye week, obviously, for the Rams. But, man, I'll tell you, if this is any indication, it is an indication of just how, like, unpredictable this season has been in the NFL. I mean, really hard to just stick with one team and say, nah, this is the team I firmly believe. If you were supposed to take all your chips, you will never put all your chips on one team. Not this season. It just is not going to happen. Hey, guess what? The Mets found their GM, but then lost one of their most important players. We'll discuss that next. Goodbye, ESPN Plus.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.